listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
This is round two of...
Cage Match!
Our fourth annual cage match. Today's episode is Tammy versus Guido. John, our unofficial arbiter, has joined us yet again.
Hello again.
Thank you for joining us. So the winner of last week's round one, which was guarding Tess, will go up against the winner of this week's round two, and then we will crown the winner of the fourth annual cage match. Tammy, will you be going first?
Yes.
As a reminder, you each have 30 minutes to defend your movie and in the following five categories: best supporting cast, best action, best freak out, best leading lady, and best movie.
You've got that SpongeBob looking girl, so all right.
What?
Nothing.
I'm a SpongeBob looking girl.
You're making fun of an 11-year-old's teeth.
Is Sutton from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in your movie?
No, he's Yikes. Making the Family Guy joke that they made about Chloe Grace Moretz, where she had a weird body
hey,
shape.
She's a married lady now, to a woman.
She looks like she's related to Adam Driver for sure.
Using someone else's material for your own jokes.
All right, Tammy, are you ready?
I suppose.
30 minutes on the clock.
Got it.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so my movie is Kick-Ass. It came out in 2010. It had a budget of $30 million, and it grossed $96 million worldwide.
Nice.
Very nice.
It's directed by Matthew Vaughn.
Yes.
Who also did Snatch, Layer Cake, X-Men.
He wrote Snatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie directed Snatch.
Layer Cake is phenomenal. I love Layer Cake.
Layer Cake's a delight.
It's such a good movie.
What he was best known for was... He's a director, writer, producer.
Yes.
Layer Cake's the one with Cole Meany, right?
Yes, Cole Meany is in it, yes. Yeah. And Daniel Craig, early James Daniel Bond. Craig. Tom very Hardy has a very small part in it. It's real good.
Layer Cake is good.
So this is based on a comic book that's the same name, Kick-Ass, by...
Mark Millar. John Romita.
I wrote it somewhere. Where did I write that? Anywho, thank you for Matt being here, because it's not at the top of my notes. It's a teen comedy / superhero / action crime movie.
They have special powers though, so they're not really superheroes.
They're vigilantes.
They're vigilantes.
Caped crusaders.
Yeah.
I mean,
Batman's still super in my heart.
So the main
having money is a superpower.
The main character's name is Dave Lazuski, and he is played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, which he can get it now.
He can get it now, not in this movie. Also, in this movie, he's just Aaron Johnson because
it's not Taylor Johnson.
Taylor is his wife's name.
That's cute.
He took his. They took each other's names.
They took each other's names.
Well, you know, she did marry him when he was 19 and she was 42.
Hold on a second.
Well, you know, 20 goes into 40 more than 40 goes into 20.
All right, Cher.
Well, hey.
It's a Cher situation.
If it's okay for Cher to do it, then it's okay for this
and
lady
Madonna.
To do it.
His 100% would fuck
Cher. It's okay
Cher.
For Leo to do
Don't
it.
Don't know what the big deal is here.
So he's kind of a big deal. He was in Nosferatu.
Yes,
he's
he
a
was.
Quad Pro Quo alum.
He's an alum.
Bullet Train. Delicious in Bullet Train.
Who the hell was he in Bullet Train?
He's Lemon. Or
no shit, that's
orange.
Who this kid grows up into?
Tangerine.
Yeah. Tangerine?
Uh-huh.
Tangerine. No shit. Tangerine.
Oh, Lemon's the black guy. I can never keep him straight.
He's got the Beautiful Things song he did.
Nocturnal Animals. He got nominated for a lot of awards. So he got nominated for an Oscar for that movie, I think.
I had no
and
idea
then
this
the
kid
Fall
was that
guy.
Guy.
Yeah, that's it's the nuts. Same guy.
Guido really likes The Fall Guy.
Hot.
Well, The Fall Guy is an awesome movie.
Craven the Hunter. Yes.
Really, really really has turned into a very well-rounded actor.
He was Quicksilver in Age of Ultron.
Yeah. So his supporting cast of Misfits... His friend Marty, I forgot the T in my notes. Marty, played by Clark Duke from The Office and Hot Tub Time Machine. I mean, what's more bigger than The Office?
Great White Buffalo.
Basically,
Great White Buffalo. Anywho.
Any other show.
Todd, played by Evan Peters. He's in a bunch of X-Men movies.
He was Quicksilver, wasn't he?
Yep.
So they both have played Quicksilver?
Yeah.
Yeah, but his friends Quicksilver had that really cool scene.
I do love Evan Peters.
He's in more X-Men movies also.
Well, he was Dahmer.
Yes, he did play Dahmer.
He
is Dahmer.
No, he actually is Dahmer. No, he's a Ryan Murphy guy. Ryan Murphy shit.
American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Mayor of Easttown.
My favorite
Mayor
character
of
in the
movie. He gets shot in the face in
that. Oh, that was so sad. I hated that.
After he hooked up with Kate Winslet.
Well, who wouldn't?
I didn't write down McLovin's dad.
Mark Strong
is the he's great.
Ugh.
He's that guy.
Are you sure you're not thinking about his British body double?
It really upset me that no one had a British accent in this movie, and everyone should have a British accent in this movie, and no one does.
Oh.
Sorry. And Mark Strong makes it okay to be bald. That man is very sexy.
Well, he's like the Tooch, but hotter.
Oh, yeah. He's
Bite your tongue. Story. Bite your tongue.
No, I honestly would prefer Mark Strong over the Tooch.
Always.
Then you
not
have...
Not knocking the Tooch.
Damon McCready, a.k.a. Nick Cage, a.k.a. Big Daddy.
A.k.a. looks like my dad in this movie. Not gonna lie.
He does kind of look like
really
Lee.
Really freaked
me
out a little
bit. But Lee doesn't have a mustache.
He used to. Used to until I was 18 years old that my dad had a mustache and wore glasses exactly like that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
As soon as I saw Nick Cage, I was like, ew, he looks like my dad. Ew.
Your dad also has a gun vault?
Yep. He does. Mm-hmm.
I wish we all had gun vaults.
And then we have Chloe Grace Moritz, who plays Mindy McCready, a.k.a. Hit Girl. And she's been in a ton of stuff. I mean, she is a worker bee.
Yeah, she is.
From child actress till today. She was in the new version of the Carrie movie.
That movie sucked.
It did. She's also in the newer version of Suspiria.
That movie sucked.
It's a very small part in that
movie. Keep it going, Tammy.
She's in 500 Days of Summer.
That movie sucked.
There we go, Tammy, too.
She is? Who is she in 500 Days of Summer?
I don't know.
Oh, she's his little sister. That's right. Oh, that is her.
She's the tennis ball.
She's in a bunch of... She does a lot of animated movies, too.
She did the remake of Let the Right One In, which actually was a good remake.
Which didn't suck.
She was in Home Alone? Yeah, she was the brick they threw off the building.
Oh, very good.
That's so mean.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was the prostitute that Daniel Stern just solicited.
And she just got married to a lady.
Great.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she's a big old Leslie.
Big old Leslie.
Wait, yeah. we don't know.
A single Scissor Me Timbers?
She could have married the malignant tumor in the back of the lady's head.
She married the malignant tumor.
She is pretty badass. Then we have another really big actor in the supporting cast, really famous, Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Platz.
So famous that we cannot pronounce his name.
He plays Chris D'Amico.
Yeah, he's McLovin.
McLovin.
Oh, the guy looks like a young Martin Hamlish.
He's in
Superbad. Quad Pro Quo alum.
Quad Pro Quo alum from Role Models. He's also done a lot of animated stuff. He's a voiceover. He did How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah?
Big movies.
Big.
Okay.
And Trolls. He did all the Trolls movies.
Yes.
Take off of that vest. You look like Woody Allen.
He did Neighbors.
For everyone here that has children.
Yes. So he's kind of a big deal.
Big deal.
How many big deals are in your movie? And then Mark Strong.
It's okay.
Frank D'Amico. Mark Strong. He's in The Kingsman. And Zero Dark 30.
And Stardust. And Green Lantern.
And.
Any Academy Award winners? Or?
And Little Johnny Hopkins. You don't know who Little Johnny Hopkins is?
Set the black.
What about Sloane Kettermann? Was he in there too?
Yeah. He plays the first gang kid. Duh.
Of course.
And
duh.
Of course, Kate, the girlfriend of Dave.
So that's
my star-studded cast. So the plot summary. There's my notes. Based on the comic book written by Mark Miller and John Romita Jr. with the same name.
God help us all.
Director Matthew Vaughn sold this movie for more money than it was worth. Which is really cool. That it was worth to make it.
Oh, okay.
Dave Lazowski's the main character. He's an average high schooler with average friends who like comic books.
And jerking off.
They hang out in comic book stores and do average things. His mom died and he lives just with his dad.
From Uncle Buck.
Who works nights. And he is supposedly a good kid and doesn't get into trouble, so he doesn't.
Jerks it a lot, though.
It just occurred to me. Hold on. This is the one who married the 40-something-year-old when he was 19?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he spent the entire first 25 minutes of the movie jerking off to his 50-year-old teacher?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That tracks.
Okay.
Art imitates life.
People forget
life
how
life
young he
art.
Actually is. Like,
yeah.
He's not even 30 yet in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been married for, I think, going on like 11 or 12 years. He has two kids with this woman. She has two kids. One of them is only maybe 4 years older than him. Like,
What?
They met when he was 17.
Ooh.
She directed a movie he was in where he played a young John Lennon. It's called Nowhere Boy. And that's the movie they met on when he was 17. And then she left her husband for him. And they got married when he was like 19.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
So when does he become president of France?
One day, he decides he needs
when
to teach...
When does he come and get a high five from me?
Where was she when I went to school, I mean, right?
I'm going to encourage you to look up his wife and then maybe change her.
Is she tall? Hot? No? It's for love?
Are we questioning her hotness or her tallness?
She directed the first 50 Shades movie.
Interesting. So one day he decides he needs to teach all of those bullies at school a lesson. And without any skills or training, he grabs a wetsuit and he makes it into a superhero costume. He waits for his dad to leave for work. He goes out, he roams the streets for thugs and goons, and he gets stabbed and beat up. He spends some time in the hospital, he gets out, and still doesn't learn his lesson. So he continues his journey to self-discovery.
And he's got no nerve ending.
He gets hit by a car, too.
And stabbed.
Yeah.
So it happens when you stand in front of them.
Yeah. He did not learn his lesson.
And you don't have a gun.
So he gets more famous because he, you know, gets beat up on camera. And then he goes live on social media and on the news.
On MySpace.
On MySpace.
Dated.
16,000 friends on MySpace.
So he goes from like an average high schooler to an average high schooler just with a MySpace and a famous... you know, alter secret ego. Identity. So now he is gay and to his friend Kate, and he gets to like rub lotion on her back and stuff.
Hot, but
in the process.
Say it.
No, I'm not gonna.
Say it.
Do it.
Which is not right.
It's not an SVU episode or anything like that. That's really fun.
Then he eventually does tell her that he's not gay, and then he ends
this
up
wasn't
getting handies and having sex behind dumpsters and stuff like that.
She gets so horned up, like, as soon as he says, I'm not gay, basically.
I know. So then he bumps into actual superheroes.
Vigilantes.
Actual heroes. Vigilante, whatever, you know what I mean. And have been vigilantes in hiding, actually trying to catch and hold bad guys accountable. Oh, they also go to school with Chris D'Amico, who's a rich kid with no social skills, played by McLovin.
D'Amico.
His dad...
Yeah, you gotta say it right or else he'll be like, how dare you belittle my people?
Oh, whatever.
I didn't say D'Amico.
D'Amico.
Fuckers.
His dad is the head of a mob family, and his name is Frank, so they sell drugs and stuff. He has drug dealers and cartel all over the city that they live in, and the guy, Damon McCreary, who's Big Daddy, who's Nick.
Nick Cage.
Was trying to take him out because he was a policeman, and Frank sabotaged that, and then Damon went to prison. While Damon was in prison, then Nicolas Cage, aka Damon's wife, killed herself, leaving their daughter without a father or a mother.
Nicolas Cage was in prison?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
Just that one time. Rikers.
It was the comic book part that made Nicolas Cage look
yeah. very, very beefy.
Well, that's John Romita's artwork for him.
Oh, okay.
He makes everybody look like that.
Yeah.
That's the female gaze, Allie.
Oh,
you can't say that anymore.
So Dave tries to be friends with Chris D'Amico in real life, not, you know, vigilante characters. Of course, Chris, a.k.a. McLovin, a.k.a. Red Mist, doesn't want to be anyone's friend. He just wants to please his father and be a part of the business. Frank knows some superhero is killing his men. He thinks it's Kick-Ass due to Kick-Ass's growing popularity all over the news and social media. However, it's really Big Daddy dressed as...
Does kind of look like Batman.
Right, highlight the rest of your notes and change superhero to hero.
Why?
Control F.
Can't
find a replacement.
It's fine. You're good.
It doesn't matter. These are my notes.
And he does say, he does say super, why aren't there any superheroes? He does say superheroes in the movie, so.
Yeah, but then they get corrected. Like, they're not super because they have superpowers. You're saying more like hero or vigilante.
Whatever.
I would argue that Crickass does kind of have a superpower and that he can't really feel pain.
Once he gets hit by the car.
Like,
yeah.
So. But that's his own stupidity.
Still, a win's a win.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, half of superheroes were fucking failed science experiments.
That's true.
That's their own stupidity. Avengers.
Does Jeremy Renner have superpowers?
No, he doesn't. You mean the power to get run over
by your own fucking lawn
equipment?
Trixie
and Katya talked about it on the last episode of We Like to Watch. Because they were watching the Ryan.
No,
the,
he does have a superpower. He can call ice really fast on his ex-girlfriend that he doesn't like anymore.
What about the superpower to ruin a franchise? Look at you, Bourne trilogy.
So Chris D'Amico, McLovin, becomes Red Mist to try and help his father catch Kick-Ass. Except they actually end up liking each other. And they fight crime together.
Super hot.
And they ride in Red Mist's really cool red Mustang.
They really get along.
Which he had to learn how to drive stick for that.
Sure, Nick Cage probably helped him.
Wait, for the scene?
Yeah.
He had to learn how to drive stick for that scene? Get an automatic
car?
No, you can't, Allie. You can't. Not if you want to be true to, like, the comics. All badasses have three pedals. Are you kidding me?
Not to mention, he probably didn't actually drive. They had the car hooked up on a trailer with the camera mounts around it.
Well, she just said the guy had to learn.
Well, he had to learn to look like he knew what he was doing.
I don't remember ever seeing him actually shift in the movie.
But you can hear the shifts.
Hear the shifts. They're not good.
I don't know.
It sounded like it was being driven by a teenager.
That's what my research has brought me to.
Thank you.
Thanks, IMDb.
You got it. The real kick-ass heroes, in my opinion, in this movie are Nick Cage's character and Mindy McCready, Hit Girl.
She's pretty cool.
She's the best leading lady. Did you know that she trained with a circus school so that she could do most of her own stunts?
When
amazing. go ahead.
They taught her to ride a bike, sure. But, like, what do they do with the wings?
What wings?
Did they cut her wings off?
Are you saying she's like a gremlin or something?
He's trying to fight that she's a superhero.
So mean to this poor child.
I know. What she can do with like a switchblade?
It's like when my dad called that girl from White House Down unfortunate looking.
I've seen a bear ride a tricycle.
Was that child unfortunate looking?
Yes.
I mean, when she was a kid, now she's a gorgeous woman.
If my grandmama had the wheels, she'd be a bike.
Haven't you seen her today?
She's gorgeous. She's gorge.
And she says cunt in this movie.
Amazing. Love it. Love when children say cunt.
Love
that. Her mom gave them permission.
Really? I also love the switchblade. The butterfly knife.
Her birthday gift.
Well, what are those officially called?
Balisongs.
I was asking Tammy if it was in her
She knew. The little girl knew. She's properly trained by her dad. I mean, my dad.
I've forgotten the face of my father.
Again, Damon McCready was an ex-law enforcement. So once he got out of prison, he got Mindy back from his police partner, who is her guardian since she didn't have any parents, right?
Hot.
True. And then he used her as a pawn in his revenge scheme by practicing child abuse and building her into a savage weapon of a hero vigilante we see in this movie.
Wow, so Nicolas Cage is kind of a piece of shit in this movie.
Somebody had child abused me into becoming a fucking 11-year-old John Wick.
She is an 11-year-old assassin.
Yes.
Who would rather get a butterfly knife than a whatever.
American Girl doll.
Puppy, I believe, a bicycle. What she said. Or a Bratz doll.
A Bratz doll, that's what she says.
Well, I mean, Guido, Amelia's only like 8, right?
On it.
Yeah, and she's already doing Nastics. We just got to add 2 blades in her hands while she's doing it.
Oh, I solved this
problem. She wants to go to like kickboxing classes.
There we go.
She does?
Krav Maga that girl out.
Yeah,
Come
Krav Maga
on.
The shit out of this.
So really, she should have the hero name Kick-Ass because she does the most ass kicking, in my opinion, in this movie.
She's badass.
She can do the things that she can do with her knife skills, her karate skills, her gun skills. She's got street smart.
Center of gravity.
Common sense. Like, she's just like the whole package, this little girl.
She knows how to save money because apparently she has like $3 million at the end of the movie.
You know what she doesn't know what to do? She doesn't know how to put out a fire.
And she loves hot chocolate. And she kills like 15 drug dealers with her dad.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
She and her dad take out Frank D'Amico's goons twice. The one scene with the drug dealers that they're kicking. His girlfriend, Kate, I guess, was talking to one of them. And that's when they meet. They beat each other up. Do you know what I'm trying to say? In the apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene. And then the other one is when they were in the lumber yard. Then they lower the goon numbers. And then the final act, which goon. I think is the most badass scene, in my opinion. But I don't, it's not like the biggest action scene, is the last fight scene. They include bazookas. There's all these gunfights with karate.
In the hallway?
And then there's a jet-packed machine gun.
Love a good hallway scene.
The hallway fight scene is great.
And behind the island.
Thank you, Park Chan-wook.
And yeah. I really like how Mark Strong's like trying to be a good supportive dad this whole time, but also like big bad boss, but supporting his son being Red Mist and also a little badass.
Yeah.
He's like giving
him rocket launches. It's an unfortunate name and haircut that he has decided to.
Hey, yo, Red Piss.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate that it had to get to that point because, you know, Nicolas Cage, this is his freak out session.
Screams.
So the sad part of the movie is Nick Cage dies in the biggest action scene of the movie in the lumberyard when...
I think this is the first time he's died in the Cage match.
Oh, yeah?
This is a...
Yeah, well, he doesn't... I mean, none of us have done the Wicker Man remake, so...
Oh, I got the bees!
And technically, he doesn't die in Guido's movie either, so...
Well, he does? Oh, yeah, I guess not.
So he gets burned to death. He's screaming.
It's awful.
I mean, how can you have a worse freakout session other than, like, getting burned to death is, like, a fear of mine.
Yeah, they actually set him on fire so he could have a good scream for this.
And the only, like, he's not Very even, mad. Like, he's worried about his daughter and he's, like, shouting what to do next to her. And she's trying to get to him, but she can't because of all these, like, bad guys. And then she finally gets to him and throws the blanket over him. There's like saying goodbyes. It's just very sad.
It's always the worst ER episodes when they bring in someone who's like 95% burned all over their body and you're just watching them die. It's terrible.
And he probably died more because his lungs were like burnt.
Yes.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. So she's fatherless now. And so she, you know, that scene had a lot of shooties and splodies and fire.
It's awesome.
So that's my, like, biggest action scene. So she's fatherless and motherless and seeks revenge at the end of the movie. Good news, though, she does go on to live a semi-normal life at the end. She goes back to live with his partner. So that guy is her legal guardian. She goes to the same school as Dave and his friends, which I don't even think they're close to the same age. But I don't think she would go to high school.
It might be like a middle school, high school combined.
Yeah. It also ends happily because Dave is consistently getting his penis touched.
Not by his own hand.
Not by himself, but
he
by
was chafing.
Kate. So that made him pretty... Also, his best friend, Hot Tub Time Machine, is getting his penis touched, not by himself. But by her friend.
Which means when one of them breaks up, they both break up.
It's consensual, yes. And no one is taped to anything.
Poor Evan Peters.
So everyone's happy here except for Red Mist. Himself. Red Mist is not happy because his daddy's dead.
He got bazooka'd.
He did.
He was just trying to be a good dad.
With Nicolas Cage's bazooka.
And what is the new... What's his new... ego? What's his new thing? Does he say it? Because he's not Red Mist anymore. Now he's like purple.
Oh,
he's
orange. No, it's Mick Levin.
Mick Levin. So we do get to see Red Mist at the end, and we kind of get this like, ha 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 ha, like he's gonna be the villain, and there could be another movie, which there is.
Yeah, and it sucks.
So again, best freak out is when Nick Cage gets caught on fire. Best action is that scene
where he's on fire.
The hallway scene.
Yeah, the hallway was way better.
Pick the hallway fight scene. Pick the hallway fight scene.
No, go back to the from fire.
You want the night vision
one.
You want
I guess the most action.
You want her with her night vision goggles shooting up the bad guys as your action scene, or do you want the hallway scene, or do you want the drug?
We get it.
So hard.
Action movie has action.
Blow up at the end.
I guess it would be most action. It should be most action.
Clearly does.
It overall has the most action and the best action.
Yeah, so you're against love movies. two love movies.
No, I'm against... What is it?
The category...
I thriller, maybe. I don't know.
So I feel like my movie is the best movie because it's fun. It has humor.
Guy gets burned alive.
Action.
The fuck is fun about that?
You're interrupting me.
It has
rape
by deception.
It's got a love story. It's got suspense and surprise. It's got guns for Guido.
Yeah.
Overall, it beats out Deadfall by like 1,000%.
Listen, bitch, I didn't even fucking tell him what my movie was.
That actually makes sense. The movie flows well. The characters are likable and relatable.
It's written by a well-renowned comic book.
You don't
writer.
Even know your fucking notes were.
All right, I'll let her finish.
Deadfall
guys.
Is a waste of a movie. I want my all right, 2 hours.
Jesus
past.
Christ!
I'm throwing your phone out back. The fucking window.
Yeah,
too.
What the fuck is this?
The leading lady.
I didn't realize
Pond
Donald
Scum.
Trump was doing speeches here for Cage Match. Now.
Right.
By the very definition of what Pond Scum is, she pretends like Nicolas Cage's character, who is obviously special. Then she goes and sleeps with anything that walks, apparently.
Why are you talking about his
Michael
movie
Bain.
Right now?
What movie?
I'm defending my movie.
But you're talking
what
about
what political action committee
yet.
Paid for this?
Yeah. Tammy, you're out of line.
6 seconds.
You are out of line.
Why am I out of line? You did this
because,
the last movie.
No, you're slinging mud.
No, you do.
Okay, we're
you
trying to have
the
no,
other
we're trying to have a respectful
all
debate.
Nicolas Cage's face.
We're having a good debate.
That's why. He's
and you're slinging mud, fucking Tammy
you're
Trump
such,
over
you're
there.
So sensey. Oh fuck you, because you slung mud at me at the last time we had a cage match.
What,
so I'm just
what did
it
I
right
say?
Back to
what,
you.
Run the tape.
You little shit.
Okay.
Bring it.
What?
Fucking, you're the one that chose the movie so you could win one category.
Fuck off.
Great
and save
strategy,
your
Tammy.
Tears for someone else, okay?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Nick Cage doesn't actually play a character in this movie. He's on drugs the whole time.
He's not even in your movie. He's a like a tertiary character. He's not even a supporting
he
fucking
even,
cast.
He even leaves a pile of piss on the floor.
Nick Cage is in your movie for
down
2 minutes.
His pants.
Ew.
For his pant leg.
Do you want to talk about my movie? Go ahead. Take my notes then.
I hope you all really enjoyed Kick-Ass, and I hope that you vote for me.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Well, good job.
I made it in time.
You did?
Yep.
Wonderful.
We got there.
We got there. Guido, are you ready?
Yeah. Let me start by reading my notes.
All right. Hold on. We got to set you up with 30 minutes.
I won't need them.
20. Are you sure you don't want to just use 5 to tell her how terrible
20.
Her movie is?
Yeah. Like, you sure you just don't want to use 10 to muckrake everybody else?
All right. Not. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Go.
I'm used to doing that anyway.
I wanted to start by saying how proud I was of my wife Tammy choosing the movie Kick-Ass. I thought it was, you know, a very good choice.
Oh,
she's stepped out of you know, her typical role as a troll and actually chose a good movie.
Oh, I chose Renfield last year.
You know, I just really
I
respected her bravery.
I'm surprised
and,
she didn't pick the
was really surprised to get shit on 3 minutes ago. So, well, vive la fucking France, man!
Oh, vive la fucking France, man!
So bad I'm not wearing headphones right now.
Deadfall came out in 1993 and was directed by Christopher Coppola. That's right, that's Nick's brother.
What else is he known for directing? Because there's a lot of credits and I've never seen a one of them.
They're all art house movies, dude.
Oh, yes, oh. Art house.
Art house. Highbrow.
High art.
They were drug laundering money.
So
that's really what it looks
this
like.
This is
going to
be everyone's favorite bit right here. It had a budget. This movie, Deadfall, budget, $3 million. And it made whopping $18,000.
What?
And I want you to know that the budget was $8 million, but then Val Kilmer said, nah, dog. And then it went down to $3 million.
How much of that three do you think was spent renting that carousel for the final scene? Like at least $2.5 million
that,
was
that
rent.
Food hall
no,
that they filmed every scene in.
Well, you got to understand. I mean,
that was just a closed down mall.
Mickey Dolenz like, has a really
movie
big
was filmed in two rooms.
Mickey Dolenz from The Monkees commands a lot of money. I mean,
well,
look.
I will tell you, unlike the movie, which was
you're going off your notes. You're going off the script.
Unlike Kick-Ass, uh-oh, this movie features 3 Oscar winners. Can you say the same? No, you can't. So yes, it is hard to tell that 3 Oscar winners are in this one, but they are there.
Oh God,
so,
there are.
Nicolas Cage is one.
Deadfall is a crime
James
thriller
Cooper.
In James the same Cooper way that A Fever Dream is a documentary. But Google says it's a thriller comedy. Whatever.
Who's the third Oscar winner?
Is Peter Fonda?
Yes.
Oh, shit, Peter Fonda.
No.
Does he have an Oscar?
I'll tell you.
Is it Peter Fonda? Or are you counting,
I'll tell you.
Are you counting James Coburn twice because he played twins?
Well, I...
Yeah. There we go.
Hold on. It's
Oh, you got it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's Olympia Dukakis for all the good that'll do.
Charlie Sheen definitely doesn't.
And, you know, just for you and our listeners, I'm not going to go scene by scene because we will all fall asleep. So
please do.
Nope. Nope.
So basically, since I've seen this movie multiple times.
No, stop it.
What you got to do is it starts off with a con where Michael Biehn is.
Okay.
Let him do it.
Whatever. It follows crooked cops, diamond monger, metal crab claw mob money, double crosses, triple crosses, and a plot so tangled it seems to actively resent the audience trying to understand it. But I can explain it in a few sentences.
The baby. The guy that baby has an Oscar, I bet. From this movie. Oh, baby, come on. Little baby, what
don't we just come out and shake his hand?
After con artist Joe Donnan accidentally kills his father, Mike, during a sting, Joe tries to carry out Mike's dying wish to recover the cake, which is some girl's hot ass. Joe goes in search of his father's twin brother, Lou. Uncle Lou is also a con artist and tries to enlist Joe in one of his schemes, but Joe falls in love with Lou's assistant and girlfriend, Diane. Joe and Diane decide to steal the proceeds from the con and run away. When the con goes wrong, Uncle Lou gets shot. Joe leaves with the money, only to run into his dad, Mike, who's alive. And then Joe learns that Mike and Diane were working together to double-cross Lou. Enraged, Joe shoots Mike, only to discover the gun is full of blanks. That's the plot. That's the whole movie right there.
Diane is Eddie's girlfriend, not Lou's. Come on, man.
Right.
Yeah,
you gotta keep the plot together.
You didn't even talk about Eddie.
Yeah, you never even
brought up Eddie. I will.
Nicolas Cage is the best part of this movie, and you barely glossed on it.
I'm getting to it. So, in summary, crime happens, betrayal happens, Nicolas Cage happens hard, money changes hands.
Please.
Until no one knows who it is.
Does Talia Shire have an Oscar?
No.
And the movie ends not because the story is complete, but because time has passed. So the whole time, Eddie, Nicolas Cage, hovers over the whole movie like a cocaine-fueled gargoyle. He's Lou's right-hand idiot, and his management style consists of shrieking and sweating and behaving like every sentence is his last.
And
strip clubs.
And what color is this gargoyle that you speak of?
He's very tan, like the walls of my house right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Tan, that's what we're calling it.
We have a Nicolas Cage complexion in our home.
Okay.
How is his hair?
Yes, how is
his hair? Okay, so it's...
Disgusting.
It's doll's hair. It's glued together doll's hair. It's like Mod Podge. And this is pre-Oscar Cage.
The
so
wiggery.
This is
pre-Oscar, everybody. Yeah.
This is before leaving Las Vegas, so
wait,
back
Joe,
when he was
James
still
Coburn
experimenting.
He did not have his Oscar during this movie.
What did he get an Oscar for? Maverick?
Affliction. And that happened in like the late 90s, early 2000s, I would say. I'm pretty sure. I could be very wrong.
Yeah. At this point...
Yeah, 99.
There we go.
Nicolas Cage in his career is experimenting with the question, what if acting, but louder?
Well, it's also when you're in a family where you tend to be in each other's movies, it's hard to say no to your brother who said, hey, I got this role for you.
And I'll
do
pay
you have
cocaine.
The darkest face makeup alive?
And I'll let all your friends come on the movie.
But also when
you think about it, though...
Nick Cage is a big deal at this point.
Yeah, he is.
So him being in this movie, his brother needs him, I feel like, more than he needs his brother. So his brother is going to let him do all of this shit because they lost Val Kilmer. Obviously, they can't. Michael Biehn cannot carry this movie on his own.
What do you mean? He carried the Terminator franchise on his own.
No, he didn't. Linda Hamilton did that.
He's great in Aliens.
This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, but Nicolas Cage is great in it. Follow me here.
Nicolas Cage is, yes, the best part
so
of this movie.
When he finally dies, Nicolas Cage, it feels less like a plot resolution and more like the movie politely asking him to leave.
I thought it felt like a very good pilot. His wig comes off.
Dude, Joe tears off Eddie's shit wig and shoves his face into a deep fryer. Nicolas Cage often refused to remove his sunglasses while filming. Christopher Coppola's thought was that viewers needed to see the insanity and the distrust in Eddie's eyes. But the two times Eddie is seen without his sunglasses on were because Chris literally begged him to take them off. Please, bro, big bro, please take them. I know this is my movie. Yeah.
Is he older?
I think Chris is a little brother.
There's so many people in that family.
So he's like, come on, baby, let me keep my sunglasses on the whole time.
He does. I have it in here. Yep. No, we're good. I'll get to it. The supporting cast, they're there. They try their best.
Michael Biehn, you know from the Terminator, Aliens, Tombstone. He plays Joe. James Coburn, he's an Oscar winner for Affliction and a genuine screen legend. But he looks like he wandered onto the wrong set and decided to power through it out of professionalism. So at one point, he asked the director to control the clown. And why is this man screaming in my face? Could you imagine? It's like your brother. Why is he screaming in my face? I don't understand why he's yelling at me.
Yeah. And that guy has acted with people like John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, so I'm sure he's used to people yelling at his face. He's 30
credits with John Wayne. And this was what's too much.
I mean, Charlie Sheen shot a scene after he was caught on set tooting from the communal coke pile with a 4-foot straw.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
When Christopher Coppola showed him the film, when Christopher Coppola showed the film to his uncle Francis, he hated it. He said Nicholas held the film hostage, just like he tried to do in Peggy Sue Got Married, and that the only difference is that there were stronger actors in Peggy Sue.
You're telling me the guy that directed Megalopolis hated this movie?
Well, that was many years and senility later. Everyone else delivers performances that range from confused to actively fighting the script, but it's not just actors.
There was a script?
And writing that suspect. They fucked up in the editing room, too, because during the film's premiere screening, the lab made a mistake on the print, and they double-printed the awkward sex scene. So they,
it's that so why that was so long?
That's why. That's right. They played it back-to-back, bro.
It's so long.
It is.
Like, not the worst tits I've ever seen.
No,
like,
great tits. Good for her. Like,
I thought she had a nice body. Like,
that was 8 minutes.
It was supposed to be four. It's supposed to be four. I'm pretty sure I saw Danny DeVito in there.
It could have been 12 seconds. I just needed the implication that they banged.
He wanted no. They were making love.
Do you
remember sex scenes from the 90s? They were in everything R-rated.
Would you rather they had just fucked in an alley behind a comic book store?
Ice them up.
Like, I think we got 3 separate shots of Michael Biehn's whole ass.
Yeah, there was a lot.
What about his asshole?
Yeah.
Still never any asshole.
Nobody wants
to see anybody's asshole.
That's really
because we're unimaginative in filmmaking.
Well, not all assholes are bleached either, so, you know what I mean?
Or taken care of, with little speckles on. Like Boot Nasty. Yeah.
Show me that real butt.
Ew.
Freckle butt. You know what I mean?
I bet if they asked him James
I'm not
Coburn
asking for dimples.
His asshole.
I'm asking for God.
James Coburn would.
He'd show
consummate it. Professional.
Consummate.
My favorite James
Why is the clown
Coburn.
He'd have grinned through the whole thing.
Why is the clown showing me his asshole?
My favorite thing he was in was...
Maverick?
No, Payback.
Oh, that's what my dad always says.
My suit, that's just mean.
My fucking dad loves that movie.
5 Minute Warning.
Film noir.
Whoa, look at you. You made it.
I made that up.
Are you bitch?
I was going to say, it has not been that long. She didn't even say it.
17 minutes left.
What a bitch.
Let's just watch the
sex
scene.
You're a real fucking asshole.
And we can take, that'll take up 8 minutes.
Fucking bitch. Oh, yeah. Mickey Dolenz from The Monkees was on set for 1 out of 16 days of filming.
He gets like... 15% of the movie in screen time. He was only there for one day. Well done,
Mickey. Hey, man. It's like Keith David in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
He was the third
Keith David.
He was the third built guy, and he was only in one scene.
Keith David would have made this movie 10
the
times
whole time.
Better.
I mean, seriously, I could go... The movie doesn't deserve...
Everyone's so sweaty.
Your
in this
time
movie.
To
like,
go no, scene by scene.
Everyone,
it's just a dumb double cross story.
Everyone needs to see this movie.
It's a shit movie, but Nicolas Cage is great in it. He's so great that Nicolas Cage watches it to laugh at it. It is used as the butt of a joke. Nicolas Cage didn't even fucking die in this movie. His character was reprised in a 2017 movie.
Yes.
Because he thought it wasn't done. Like,
sounds about right.
What movie?
Did he have a
Arsenal.
Face in that
it's
movie?
It's called Arsenal. No, he has no scars on his face.
You know who's
Fryer.
In that movie? John Cusack.
That's
Joan's
sounds,
ugly sister?
That sounds about right. John basically has the career of Nicolas Cage now.
You mean the star of Dragonblade?
Yes, I do. Guido, can you talk us through the freak out in this
yeah,
movie?
So,
let's leave out some of the okay. more fruity language.
Yeah, I don't want to. I can't because I have it written down.
Oh,
are we doing categories or
best freak out? I mean, Nick Cage dry humps a mattress and screams, "My fucking retard, huh? My fucking retard!" Well, vive la fucking France, man!
Vive la fucking France!
Oh my god. This is so literally gross.
That is the best fucking freak out of the night, ladies and gentlemen. Literally, get out of here.
Literally, you just go to YouTube. I enjoyed
the one when he was fucking, when he flipped out in the strip club.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was even better.
Sam Peckinpah!
Sam fucking Peckinpah!
They cut that dude's throat?
Yeah.
With all the mutton that was eating good in place?
Like he fucking, yeah. Fucking freaks out. This dude goes out, tries to fucking garrote.
Oh yeah, mommy. Oh yeah,
that
mama.
Guy.
He had a fake like, beard on.
What was the purpose of that? Oh no, it doesn't matter. Day. Sam fucking Peckinpah. Oh, God, I love it.
Oh, day. It's okay, baby. When he's talking,
come
guy,
on, baby.
The guy was named Baby. He's like, yeah. The baby get us. He got the $1,500 for the baby. He gave his own fucking money.
So like, the whole reason Charlie Sheen was there. Was because he ran out of cocaine and his he knew goddamn well Nicolas Cage has coke.
Uh-huh. Yeah, low key, this movie did not deserve that performance Charlie Sheen gave us.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen
that was
very,
so good.
Very subtle. Very so subtle. Ad-libbed. As a pool shark.
Like, also,
that leads me to believe, like, oh, I'm just here for drugs. He had that whole
like,
nonchalant
everything else
attitude.
About this movie is the most trash thing I've ever seen. And Charlie Sheen is a menacing motherfucking pool shark.
Yep.
Believably.
I was like, what kind of game of pool is this?
Yeah, one request.
Billiards.
One request, you never let Vincent see that scene because I'm never going to try and fucking play that game with him.
Well, we don't have that table.
They're playing three bumper pool, and if you paid attention, he would have lost that game. Just saying.
Oh.
He would have.
Definitely.
If they were playing by the rules.
Not accurate.
So,
it wasn't dead balls accurate. Wow.
So,
man, claw with a hand?
Yeah, you gotta talk about...
You gotta talk about claw hand.
All right, so...
What? Why?
The diamond monger... Okay, so the mark for the like, con...
God, so much about people's hands, apparently.
The mark... Well, look.
Wood
remember,
hands,
after
claw
Nicolas,
hands.
After Nicolas Cage died, and then the Charlie Sheen of it all, he then goes and has a big diamond that he wants to show the guy
that's
with
right,
the...
That's right,
he's
with the
mark.
Scissor hand.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But he just wants to show, like, this is like a Bond villain type dude, man. That's how it was pitched, okay? We want some Dr. No.
This is
okay?
So random.
We also need you to
Dr.
have a
no
machine hand.
Mr. Claw from Inspector
yeah,
Gadget.
Seriously.
At least you only saw his hand in that. You didn't see the rest of him.
Well, the deleted scene had him actually pull-starting his hand, so... That was a fucking choice. This movie was dog shit, bro. But again, this is Nick Cage month. Okay, it's a cage match.
Yes,
and
yes
this
is
a
it
Nick,
is.
That was this is all about Nick Cage. So this category isn't about Nick Cage. Best leading lady. Sarah Trigger, if you're in a wafer-thin dingbat, so wears the same lingerie as Betty White. I mean...
I feel like they meant to cast the mom from Kindergarten Cop in this movie.
Penelope Ann Miller.
Like, I like anyone named Penelope.
I think she was supposed to be in this movie because they look way too much alike.
You know who she probably is? She's
they
probably
do.
Penelope Ann Miller's body double whenever they wanted her to do a nude scene in another movie.
No, Penelope Ann Miller did do nude scenes. She used to show
I
her
thought
body.
The Coppolas had money. Like, why would you make a movie? It seemed like it was on purpose that you had $6 to make a fucking movie with.
What did you say the budget on this was?
$3 million.
$3 million.
And we can figure out where about 40,000 of that went?
Cocaine's not that expensive, dude. Not in 1980.
When you have those.
When you're buying it in barrels, it is.
Hey, no. 40,
I feel like a lot of it went to the wiggery and the make the face
40,000, obviously.
The wiggery? Excuse me. What?
I know. She keeps saying that word.
Stop it.
Look.
Wow. You're going to get us canceled, Alec.
40,000 clearly went to Mickey Dolenz. Went to Mickey Dolenz.
I'm quoting.
Then the cocaine. Then Talia Shire, then Michael Biehn.
Oh, no, Talia Shire did it for
then more
free.
Cocaine.
Oh, and they had to rent that dope-ass Buick with the busted headlight.
And all those blanks they had to pay
and the carousel.
And the carousel.
And the carousel.
And the food court.
It's a good thing Alec Baldwin wasn't on set.
Can I talk about one scene?
For real?
Does he still have time?
Oh,
yeah,
he's got plenty of time.
He has 11 minutes.
Can I talk about the one scene where Michael Biehn goes into the food court that is the most of this movie? And he goes and gets a cup of coffee from this, like, little stand.
A cup of what?
Coffee. And
yeah, she does her Lorraine Bracco certain words.
Coffee.
Pot dog. Coffee.
Sausage.
Her Carolisms.
And the weird flirting but non-flirting between Michael Biehn
and
this...
You want a caramel twist?
Yeah, and then he walks away, or he's like... thanks. And she's like, do you want a donut? They're only 5 cents. And it's yeah. like, he already paid, bitch. He's done. Like, what is... And then he walks away and she's like, looking in the distance like it's the love of her. I'm like, what right. is there this? Had to have been
so you know there's that social joke... When you highlight, like, the dude that thinks the waitress is into him, but it's yeah. actually, she's just doing her fucking job.
No, it wasn't him. It was her. It was
yeah.
her.
Yeah, yeah. This, it's reverse like, this time.
She must have been a third tier
She actually
Coppola.
Does want to fuck him.
She was like a Coppola cousin.
All right, so I had they assumed that that get... was them trying to make sure that we, as an audience, knew that Michael Biehn was attractive.
He is! I don't need help with that.
I need help with that. I need all the help with that.
Have
you better
seen
put some
aliens?
Fucking tits
He's
on him.
He's fucking hot. Like, yum.
I mean, come on. He bagged Linda Hamilton wearing a homeless guy's jean pants with no
yeah,
underwear.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't believe that either.
He wore someone else's pants?
I like the Michael Biehn. Well, anything right. else, Guido?
Yes, yes, of course. So, time. Best supporting cast, again, 3 Oscar winners with Nicolas Cage, Nick Vallelonga, and James Coburn.
The
and
writer.
2 Oscar nominees, Talia Shire and Peter Fonda. So that's like a lot more talent than your
he
entire
wrote
movie.
Green Book. Nick Vallelonga.
That's right.
That's what he won for.
Best movie, the one so bad you can watch it again. No. Chris Coppola watches this occasionally just to laugh at his brother. The dialogue sounds like it was translated from English to Italian to English again and then yelled through a phone. Nicolas Cage is operating on a completely different plane of existence than the rest of the cast. And that is why we're here. Because Nick Cage is so fucking hard in this movie, so much harder than the, 2 minutes and 30 seconds he was in your movie, Tammy?
Oh, God.
So, you're welcome, everyone.
He actually did die in her movie.
Terrible. You can't see my finger air quotes, but he died in this one, too.
Yeah. I said that.
He burned to death in both of them.
When we saw Long Legs... And there's a point
Long
where
legs.
Where he starts, and I'm like, oh no, it's happening. Nick Cage is Nick Caging. It's gonna happen. It's happening. It's happening.
He turned into
Nick Cage.
Mommy.
That it
oh,
was
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I forgot about Long Legs.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna legs. Do that soon.
I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not doing
you
it.
You wouldn't
either.
Appreciate it.
I've seen it.
Upon like second thought, I actually don't think I liked it as much as I did when I first saw it. So.
I remember.
Yeah.
Because you guys showed it to us, and then you, that's what you said.
Yeah. I feel that way about Weapons, to be honest.
Really? I don't feel that way about Weapons.
It had too many things in that movie that they didn't do anything with,
dude, what
and that
if,
annoyed me.
What if Nick
Like, the gun in the fucking air.
That's the only thing that I was like, what is that? With Long Legs is just like word salad. There's just like... The doll, and is it magic? Is it not magic? Yeah. Is
Guido,
he doing it? Is the mom doing it? Like, it's very
what
confusing.
If, what
Maybe
if Nick,
I should watch it
What if Nick Cage played Aunt
Weapons
Gladys
I like.
In Weapons?
Oh,
how amazing would that
be? Well, there's going to be an Aunt Gladys origin story, so.
Do you think Nick Cage will be in it?
Very excited about it.
I can't believe they cast Nick Cage for that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Cool.
Guido, I have a question about the plot in your movie.
Yeah, okay.
Just one point.
Sure.
It all made perfect sense
He might not
sense
have
to
an
me,
answer.
I might not.
This
part. Yeah.
I can all help right. if necessary.
So we get to the end. We're at our final climactic quadruple cross or whatever.
Oh, we
bullshit.
Triple crossing, bro.
Okay. So anyway,
Bearing
we got,
reindeer
we got
games.
The money, right?
Yeah, the money is bundled up.
The $2 million from Clawman.
Yeah.
So Clawman's got his $2 million to buy 30 diamonds.
Yes.
And we established in the previous scene that only 2 or 3 of those diamonds are real.
Right.
Which is why we had to put them in the specific
they're
spot.
They're show diamonds so and Michael, go diamonds.
So Michael Biehn could show them. Mm-hmm. Now we've established there are 30 diamonds with a value of $9 million.
Yes.
Which means each of those diamonds is worth $300,000.
Do you not remember how big they were?
Yeah.
So there were 3 real diamonds.
Yeah.
And nobody gave a shit about finding them after the shooties?
Oh, so you can...
There's $2 million in cash and...
$900,000 in diamonds.
Yes.
About $1 million
and
in
nobody
diamonds.
Gave a shit about the diamonds. No, Mickey, just wandered away.
Mickey Dolenz picked them up.
Well, I mean, you don't have to fence them. You don't have to fence cash. It's already cash. I'd care more about the cash.
Okay.
But it's easier to hide the diamonds in your
butt.
Also,
Mickey Dolenz got shot.
But he didn't die.
Okay.
Nah.
Yeah, no one dies, apparently. In this movie.
Despite that one guy taking like 15 bullets in the middle of his chest.
All right.
Those are blanks!
Well, I guess we can move on to the categories.
Yeah, categories.
Let's start with Best Supporting Cast. So,
my movie, Kick-Ass.
And Deadfall.
Deadfall.
We vote
so
last.
So we got Chloe Grace Moretz, Nick Cage, Mark Strong...
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
McLovin, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yep.
The egg kid from
He's McLovin till he dies.
Yeah, he is. And then you have...
Michael, he could be Whispering Eye.
Mickey Dolenz, Charlie Sheen.
Clawman.
Clawman.
James Coburn.
Peter Fonda.
Nick Vallelonga, the writer.
Talia Shire.
And you said Peter Fonda, right?
I did say Peter Fonda.
Okay, easy writer, motherfuckers.
Penelope Ann Miller's body double.
Yeah. Matt, do you want to vote first?
Yeah, why not? I'll go Deadfall.
Jesus. Matt, Guido.
Yes, Deadfall.
Kick-ass.
I'm going to go Kick-ass as well.
You would.
But I really like Chloe Grace Moretz.
Why?
She's great.
She doesn't even like Chloe Grace Moretz.
And Mark Strong. And it has all of those, even though I was annoyed the fact that they didn't have British accent, it has all those British guys from other like British like mob movies. Like the guy who opens the door.
Yeah, he's from Lockstock.
From Lockstock.
Nah, you're right. You're right.
The other guy that gets squashed in the car is from Lockstock.
Yeah, but I did miss the British accents. But I still like the cast better. So I would like, okay. John.
It all boils down to Mark Strong versus James Coburn's teeth.
Yes.
Mark Strong didn't have a British accent, so I gotta go with Coburn's teeth.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What?
All right.
If Mark Strong had a British accent, you'd win.
Okay.
All right. Wasted talent. Action. So we have, you didn't say what your action scene was technically.
Oh, my action scene is watching.
No, your timer is already over.
Great. Thanks, what? Tammy. Or is it Big Ben? So we got to watch, you know, our star Nick Cage die by being shoved face first into a
I thought he didn't die.
He air died. And he, by being, you know, into the air fryer with his face, wigless, and deep, he dies on the floor gurgling. But he doesn't really die. But he dies on the floor gurgling.
And yours is?
When he gets burned alive.
God!
Ah!
You guys are picking.
Why?
Oh, no. That wasn't. That was my freak out.
That's no,
freak
it's already out. Locked in, Tammy. No. Ooh, no, that was your final answer, bitch.
It was the lumberyard one.
Matt, would you like to go?
I mean, I've seen gunfights in lumberyards many a time. I haven't seen anyone ever have their face shoved into a deep fryer.
I cannot even believe this. You're only doing this because I was shit talking. And
you weren't shit talking my movie, so I don't give a shit.
It's very interesting.
A nightmare.
I'm going it. Deadfall.
It's very interesting.
Guido.
Look, Deadfall, I like please. This movie. I said I would have picked Deadfall, it if I didn't pick Moonstruck.
Tammy.
Kick ass.
I will also go kick ass because gross. John.
Why did you pick the worst action sequence in this fucking movie?
I didn't.
You did.
You just hit the lumberyard.
You could have picked any hit
night
girl
vision
ones.
Mode or the fucking with the flashy flash and the like killing the guys with the strobes.
The hallway
you
could have
picked
scene.
A hallway
the
fight.
Hallway
you
scene.
Could have picked Mark Strong getting fucking bazooka'd. And no, you went with the blandest fucking shooty sequence in that movie. I'm still giving it to you, but I'm complaining.
Okay, you want action scene.
Okay.
All right, let's do best freak out. Guido, yours is
come
obvious.
On, he dry humps a fucking mattress. Okay. Can I say it again? Can I get it?
No, you're not saying it again.
Viva fucking France, man!
Tammy, yours is when he's on fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deadfall.
Guido.
Deadfall.
Tammy.
Kick ass.
I do have to go Deadfall this one.
It's no question. It's Deadfall. That was beautiful.
Okay.
Like 80% of what Nick Cage says is should win best freakout in any competition.
Oh my
He's
gosh.
Freaking out the whole,
it's a whole fucking movie. It was
all right.
Beautiful.
We'll go best leading lady. Yours is Penelope Ann Miller's Plan B.
And knowing
it's a
Tammy,
Sarah
she's
Trigger.
Knowing Tammy, she's probably
she did
going
some
to
TV
pick.
After
are
this.
You picking Chloe Grace Moretz?
No, she's going to pick Mark Strong's wife, who's in it for like 2 seconds. I guarantee it.
Do you know who she married though?
No, Chloe.
The other guy from Two and a Half Men.
I already picked Chloe. Grace
Oh, John Cryer.
I think she married John
she's
Cryer.
Married John Cryer.
Yeah.
Oh, good for her. Would you like to?
Oh yeah, I'll go Hit Girl.
Okay.
She's a child.
It's okay.
Wait.
It's just leading lady.
It's just leading lady.
Oh.
It's not would you
it's
do
not
her.
Do you want to fuck?
She gets it.
Hit
yeah.
girl?
Yeah, hit girl.
Kick ass.
I will go kick ass as well. Yeah. Okay, so you won yeah. leading lady. All right, so it all comes down
though
to...
Though I didn't hate Blonde Femme Fatale lady. I thought she did a pretty good job given the circumstance of a film she was asked to act in. I thought she did all right. Like...
I've never felt worse for someone other than The Room having to do a sex scene. And Michael Biehn's at least attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, so bad.
Poor thing.
I lose.
Oh, no, we... No, no.
All right, move.
No, you guys are tied.
Guido, why didn't you pick the Why didn't you pick Dominatrix Stripper?
With those big old...
With the big old...
Those fucking she was cannons, very smart. Bro. Absolute cannons.
She was built for comfort.
You know what? Gazangas. That's what. That's
those were straight gazangas.
Gazangas.
Oh, Fugazi, Fugazi. Oh, okay. At the strip club.
All right, it all comes down to best movie. Matt, yeah. Do you want to go? Are you voting for Deadfall or Kick-Ass?
I haven't seen Kick-Ass since it came out in theaters.
I had never seen it.
I watched Deadfall 4 times this year.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Sounds to me like Deadfall might be the winner here.
I think I'm going to.
It's got replayability.
But honestly, once he dies, air quotes, I'm out. Like, I'll tap out. I'll be like, I'm done. Okay, cool. But that hour to hour and 15 that he's in it.
Brill.
Deadfall.
Okay.
Guido.
Why are we here?
Because of your movie, apparently.
No. What man are we here for?
Nicolas Cage, yes.
Nicolas Cage. Whole month. And this is not the first time we've done this. We love his movies. Nicolas Cage movies. That's why we're here.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you the best Nicolas Cage movie is fucking Deadfall.
Okay.
100%.
Tammy?
Okay. Kick-Ass.
To be fair, I actually don't like... I didn't really like Kick-Ass that much, to be honest. I thought it was kind of silly and stupid, but I would rather watch it a million times more than I will ever watch Deadfall again. So I will pick Kick-Ass. John, you're the decider.
Oh, God.
This is so horrifying. This is like the worst thing ever.
This is the best day of my life.
I'm so pissed because I was going to pick this movie. I said, no, Guido, you take it.
So who won the first week?
I did. Guarding Test.
Oh.
Jesus.
All right. We're just picking the better Nicolas Cage movie, right?
We're picking...
For this... Yeah. Well, you're doing it... We're doing round two. Movie. So
No. But right now, I'm picking the better Nicolas Cage movie.
No, yeah. It's best movie.
That's the question.
Movie. Yes.
Because
it's
a Nicolas Cage movie. Like, one of them had Nicolas Cage... The other didn't.
But it's best movie.
It's best, yes.
That's the category, best movie.
What month is it?
The category is best movie.
It's best/favorite, yes. So go.
For what month?
I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Deadfall is the worst movie I've ever seen, and I'm still picking it. Because it's a better Nicolas Cage movie.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Go Tyler!
Yes!
Go
Tyler! Oh my God!
Go Tyler!
I need Tom Cruise. I'm gonna dance on this fucking couch.
This is literally bros before hoes right now.
This is awful.
This is not bros before hoes.
No, fuck you.
You hurt
Nicolas Cage for 3 minutes.
You dirty scarlet whore. You are just like the main character of his movie. That's you right now.
Okay.
You are the
slore
blonde woman of his leading lady.
And you leave Dusty Gonzagas alone.
Those 8-minute gazangas. That's what John is.
He's 8 minutes.
Just picture John dancing around with Michael Biehn in bed. That is him.
Ooh.
At least Nick Cage.
Am I Linda Hamilton here?
At least.
No, you're the dominatrix
with
the big titties.
That was under a bridge, wasn't it?
Oh my God.
That wasn't even in a bed.
Deceitful.
No, it wasn't a bed in Terminator. Okay. They fucked
there's
in a bed.
No
oh,
way.
That wasn't a bed? Good.
Yeah, they were in that motel and they made plastic.
Allie, right. Congratulations.
Okay, so... now
you
we're
won
gonna,
again.
We don't know that yet.
This is fucking absurd.
God. So now we're going to vote.
I am gonna shit myself.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa there, Donald. Take
this
it
is
easy.
Nuts. And you can go scratch. Stop calling me that.
I was just told
do?
That he
gonna,
does that.
Are you gonna put a tariff on us if we don't vote for your movie?
No, I'm just
Well, it's already done now, so
you guys are not for the actual
Nicolas Cage movie.
Fuck off. This is the game is made up and the points don't matter.
Okay.
So.
Oh God!
If this was McLovin month, you'd have won.
This is nuts. This is absolute garbage.
You know, normally I'm the one that sits there and pouts and freaks out about people's outcomes.
I mean, you did pout a little bit, but that's fine. A little bit.
It's
all right.
Fun watching somebody else do it.
Well, know, right? Now we're going to crown a winner. So it's my movie, Guarding Tess, against Guido's pick of Deadfall. You don't do the categories. You just pick which movie you want to win.
Oh, we're not doing categories.
No, it's just which movie.
Which movie you like better?
No.
This is how we've always done it.
Which movie you like better?
Apparently, whichever movie you want to lose the most, the person that you'd like to lose the most, that's the one that you make sure that you don't pick that movie.
Just which
movie.
Yeah,
that's why I voted against Moonstruck.
Let's just say which movie you like better. Okay?
Okay.
Because if we were going by your rules of how much Nicolas Cage is in it,
what?
My movie yeah. would win, technically. So
true yeah. story.
He's in it start to finish on yours.
Start to finish.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But we're just going to say though. What movie you like the so. Best. So I will okay. I will pick my movie of sure. Guarding Tess.
Sure.
According to John's definition of a best movie, I'm going to vote for Guarding Tess also.
Guido?
It has the most Nicolas Cage in it.
Well, I'm going to go with the movie where he was the most Nicolas Cage in
true,
Deadfall.
True, he was.
Mm-hmm.
Matt?
Now he's going to vote for Guido so that John has to be the tiebreaker.
Nick does regardless. A cage.
We're rigged like the NFL here.
Nick Cage smooch is good.
Crazy. No, yeah. this is a tough one.
Yeah, what is this like?
This is a really tough one.
This is a really tough one because on the one hand, no, he is very good. He is very good in Guarding Tess, and it's a very decent movie.
Who sounds like Trump now?
I watched Guarding Tess twice.
Oh, now we're going by the number of times we've watched films.
Would you let the man decide, please?
Let him cook, apparently.
Yeah, apparently, you know, I could sit and listen to you meander for 40 minutes, so you can listen to me then, all right?
Okay. All right, so, everyone needs to calm
it was 30,
down.
Actually.
Shockingly, no one's had that much to drink either, and we're all very upset. Dry January is the worst.
We're all
on the edge.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm going to go Deadfall.
See?
Okay. John.
Shocker.
You are the deciding vote in the fourth annual cage match. So, who is the winner?
The Rock.
The Rock.
Great movie. Great,
South Park.
Great movie.
Face Off.
Even though Ferrari died, but it was a great movie.
I thought Face Off was banned.
It is.
Because it would win 100%.
Truly hated both these movies.
Okay. That's great. So, there's no winners then.
I'd watch Guarding Tess again. I will never watch Deadfall a second time. Guarding Tess.
Fuck. Oh, thank God.
This is awful. I hate you all.
All right. Well, for the third year in a row, I have won cage match.
Come on. Come
on. It wasn't a rom-com this time.
You didn't have to do that.
Sorry.
Whatever.
What a feel-good movie.
What a feel-good you know? Nicolas Cage movie. Yeah, it's not really a rom-com. They're not romantically involved.
Good.
But it is a feel-good.
It's a dramedy.
That was great.
Kudos to you.
I really enjoyed this episode with you people.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, John, and for deciding, being the decider. That's why we have you. Tammy, do you want to tell us what the theme for February is? Because you kind of picked it.
They met on set.
They met on set.
What are the parameters
here?
So
it's couples, maybe married still, may have dated, but they were in a love interest relationship, and they met on the set of the movie.
Yes.
So they had to be at a stage where they said,
"I love you."
It
doesn't have to be actors. It could be like a director or an actor or whatever. But yeah, it has to be a movie with both of them in it or involved in it.
Yeah.
Or the movie that they didn't have to meet on that movie, right?
No, but you have to choose a couple that are in
the same movie together. Okay.
You don't have to pick the movie that they actually met on, but they have to both be in the movie that you do.
Okay.
And they don't have to be together still or were even got married.
Right, there's plenty of room here.
Lots of room. My pick for We Met on Set, and I will explain why I picked this installment of the franchise when we do the episode. First, my couple I'm doing is David Arquette and Courtney Cox.
Oh,
Eight-Legged Freaks?
You. Okay.
The Royal Rumble movie?
I don't think she's in that, is she?
I don't know.
Oh.
I can't believe
so my, this. So my pick came out in 2022, and it was directed by Matt Bettinelli-Olpin and Tyler Gillette, and it stars Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette. It is Scream 5.
Okay. Not in order.
And I will explain it on the episode. And you can watch all the Screams on Paramount Plus.
Ask her how she knows.
You can also because watch Star Trek.
Yes, I watch all the Screams every year. My annual
you can also watch,
Screamathon.
You can watch Europa League and Champions League football.
Good job, everybody. We survived another cage match.
Meh.
Mm.
Again, John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And being
thank
the deciding
you for being
vote.
Here.
We,
I don't feel good about any of this.
I know.
It would have come to blows if you weren't here.
Because John
so
didn't like most of the movies.
You're
going to
go home feeling real dirty.
I didn't like any of the movies.
To be honest.
You spent all day watching movies that you hated.
Yes. You hated.
Oh, yes. Fuck, dude. You know what could have been worse? You could have watched Captain Corelli's Mandolin today. So
I would rather have watched Captain
you take
Corelli's
that back,
Mandolin
motherfucker.
Three times in a fucking row.
Okay, you take that back.
Well, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month via our website or on social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next month, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.